go back over to Revelation chapter 3. You know, we looked there in chapter 1, 2, he was walking in the midst of his lampstand, you know. John saw the lampstand. He said, these are the seven churches. That's one revelation of the lampstand. There's about 11 revelations of the lampstand that I have right now. That's one of them. He said, these are the seven churches. And in chapter 2, verse 1, he was walking in the midst of his lampstand. He was inspecting, praise the Lord. And every one of those churches he inspected, he had something to say to them. He wasn't pleased with most of them at all. But the one that he was pleased with is only one that really, he didn't rebuke them. That he was very pleased with them. And he got up into the church of Philadelphia. There's something interesting he said to them that brought it down into our day and hour about the church of Philadelphia. Because it is a church of brotherly love, but this church had something going. Revelation chapter 3, verse 6 says, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 7, and the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the key of David, and he that openeth and no man shutteth, and he that shutteth and no man openeth. It's the only church he said that to. The only church he mentioned opening anything. He says, I know your works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. So what do you think that open door is? What do you think he opened for them? Whatever door he opened was opened by the key of David. And no other church he said anything like that to, that I'm going to open a door for you that no man's going to shut. Isn't that powerful? They were the only church that got the benefit of the key of David. Key of David was the only mention. One other time, we're going to look at this very specifically tonight. I got into this Sunday, but the Lord said, I want you to get back into that because I want to get into it now. Praise the Lord. He said, I know your works. I've set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. You've had little strength. Say little strength. You know, I preached that, but I got to looking at that, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about that this week. He said, you've had little dunamis power. You were entrusted with little. But you know what they used their dunamis power for? This church was the only church that mentioned that they kept his word. They used the strength that God gave them. They used that to stay next to the Lord. They use it to keep his word. It's not easy to keep God's word. When you endeavor a lifestyle of keeping God's word, the enemy will come strong at you. But they use what God gave them and they kept his word. In fact, he said it twice to them. There was no other church mentioned of keeping his word. He said, I know your works. I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for you've had little strength and you have kept my word. And then look at verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that's coming upon the whole world to try them that are upon the earth. That specifically right there was referencing the tribulation age. So though John was receiving this, this church was right up against the tribulation age. This church was right there. It was the sixth church out of seven. And it was right there before the age of the tribulation. Our age. Say our age. Our day. This is the church. Look at who we are. It's a church of brotherly love, but it was the church that kept his word. He's taught us a lot about keeping his word. I asked the Lord the other day, I said, how long are we going to have to do this? We've been at this for quite some time. I mean, really at it for 2.5 years, but we've kept it. I mean, this particular lampstand, I've carried this revelation for 25 years. I said, Lord, how long are we going to have to do this? He said, until it manifests. I'm like, okay, thank you very much. That answers a lot of my questions. So he says, because you've kept my word of my patience, I'll keep you from that hour. This is the church specifically. These people were going to be kept from that hour, which tells you they weren't going into that hour. They were not going to be a part of that day. This church... It's his final church, which is another one too. There's two churches in the last days. It's this one in the Laodicea church. Both of these churches, by the way, are going to be very wealthy in the hour to come. It's part of his plan. Now go back over now to Isaiah 22. A lot of you have been taught on the key of David, because somebody asked me, they come up to me Sunday after service and they said, isn't the key of David a worship key? And then somebody else come up and say, isn't the key of David an intimacy key? And then somebody else kind of say, isn't the key of David a heart key? I said, oh, I told all three of them. I said, listen, that's what you've been taught. That's what you've been taught. That's what you've been taught. You believe something because of the way you were taught. But I just want to see what the Word of God says about this key. It's a very important component. It's the first thing David, he was a king. So he's a king. It's a kingly key. It opens kingly doors. Amen. Doors of authority, doors of dominion, doors of power, and doors of might. That's what this key does. Yes, it's everything else. But specifically, it's only mentioned twice. The one I just showed you for the church of Philadelphia got the key. No other church was offered it. They didn't get the benefit of the key. They didn't get the operation of the key. They didn't get close to it. Look at Isaiah 22. As you know, the white horse, it gets unlocked. In Zechariah chapter 10, he said, he will bring forth, out of him will come forth the nail. He's going to establish. It's all in this time frame. You have to understand, God embedded the mysteries in the book of Revelation for our generation and our hour. And he's unlocking these things now. Things you haven't heard before. Things you've never seen before. He's unlocking it now. He's showing us what's been embedded up in there. He put it there. He embedded it. So when you read over it a thousand times, you don't see it. And so the Holy Spirit is ready to reveal it. When he comes and reveals it, it's like, oh, I was in the middle of the download of the lampstand and they called me one day. For 2 hours, I unloaded. I don't think they even knew a thing in the world what I was talking about. Isaiah 22, very, very powerful. It's the only other time this key is going to come into full effect. And amazing, this key is mentioned to a church that's mentioned that has a last day operation. He said, I'm going to keep you from the hour. In other words, that church was coming right up to the hour. It was in the hour of the tribulation age, and that church was not going in to the tribulation. Isaiah 22, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, get thee unto who? This treasurer, even Shebna, which is over the house. And he's going to tell him in the next couple of verses, you're fired, Shebna. Shebna got in a lot of trouble with the Lord. He picked out a sepulcher right next to all the fathers and said, I'm going to be buried right here with all of them. I don't know what that just made the Lord angry. Didn't like it at all. He said, you're fired. He said, I'm going to commit your government to another. So he raises up a man named Eliakim. Now, Eliakim is a type of Christ because we know this is the only other time it's mentioned, the key of David. It's mentioned in the book of Revelation. He says, he that had the key of David will open a door. So we know that's the Lord. The Lord inherited that key. So Eliakim was a type of Christ. All right? Verse 19, and I will drive thee. He's still talking about Shebna. You don't want to be Shebna. But this is going to happen in this hour. It's going to happen in this generation. It doesn't matter what man thinks about it. It's still going to happen. It's a prophesied event with multiple layers of prophecy. And there's a reason why God's doing it. He said, I'll drive thee, verse 19, from thy station. From thy state shall he pull thee down. It'll come to pass in that day. See, all this was a prophetic book. Even though Eliakim did inherit Shebna's mantle, he was actually speaking of another day where Christ was going to inherit the mantle, the treasury mantle of the kingdom of God. Christ inherited that mantle. Because I shall come to pass that day, I'll call my servant Eliakim. Verse 21. I'll clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your girdle, and I'll commit your government into his hand, and he'll be a father to Jerusalem and the house of Judah. So, what was his robe? What was his girdle? What was his government? Who was he speaking to? He was speaking to Shebna. What did Shebna do? He was the treasurer of the entire nation. He oversaw all of it. Of the nation of Judah, he was over the treasury of the Lord. He said, you are fired. I'm going to give your government to Eliakim. He mentions this key here. He goes, I'll clothe you with the government, I'll string you with that girdle, I'll commit your government in his hand. Verse 22, contextually, here it is. And the key of the house of David. You understand that all of the kings, all of their wealth came from David. Didn't come from Saul. Saul was first king, but he was a miserable failure. But David, when he was crowned in Mount Hebron, it began the succession of all kings. All the wealth of every king was ultimately inherited by David, by his house. He gave all that when he moved into Jerusalem. He gave it all to Solomon, and it all went with the kings of Judah. And so here along is a treasurer. He said, I'm going to commit all of this now to Eliakim. It was a prophetic act. He said, I'm actually going to give this to Christ. He's the final king. He's going to get it all. But he goes, the key of the house of David. This key is going to unlock the treasuries of his house. There's no king like David. No man had the kind of mantle like that man had. 600 men he had wandering in the desert. The Lord told me the other day, he goes, do not look at what is right now. He goes, you have to understand what my purpose is. Before David was crowned, he was there to carry that mantle through a desert. He was anointed a long time before he was actually crowned king. Samuel anointed him. The devil came after that. And him and his little band of 600, they wandered in caves and dens until the time of his crowning. Awesome teaching. We did it one time when God crowned him in Mount Hebron. He cost 348,600 men to show up in Mount Hebron in 3 days of him being crowned. He'd never seen more than 600 men, and all of those were the ones nobody else wanted. They were the ones that are in debt, distressed, problematic, in need of sozo people. They all said, yeah, we'll join you, David. And David walked and carried that mantle. Nobody but the devil knew who he was. Saul knew who he was, and the devil knew who he was. But he had it. Didn't look like it was ever going to happen. His own men turned against him. But as in darkest hour in Ziklag, God turned that thing around. And when he crowned him, supernaturally, the Holy Spirit drew all the tribes to him. 348,000, almost 350,000. Could you imagine that kind of multiplication? All that came at the crowning of Mount Hebron, it released its multiplication. It was given to him a nation overnight. That's powerful. All that David inherited, that's part of the key. That's part of what's going on in his house. He received a mantle and a government, see. And that government's passed down. That's part of what it's talking about, the key of the house of David. You got to find out what's making that house. What's going on with that house? What creates that key? It all was conceived when he was anointed king, but he was crowned king in Mount Hebron. That's what began it right there. 7 years, by the way. Perfection. 7 years he lived and dwelt in Mount Hebron. That's when he started flourishing and multiplying. His kingdom began to multiply. When he received that inheritance, it took him 7 years to fulfill that inheritance. And he took all of that to Jerusalem. But that's all part of his house. That's part of his government. All of that's in that key. So when he says, I'm going to open a door, turn that down, this is going to cool up here. And when you open a door, when he says he's going to open the door, that's what's in that. You got to understand what's inside that key. When God opens the door, it's not going to be something that's just going to be a one day thing. That's a blessing. This is an inheritance. When it opens the door, no man can shut it. It's not going to get shut. It's not going to stop. It's going to continue. It's going to release the continuous inheritance of the house of David. It's going to release the continuous inheritance of Mount Abraham. It's going to release continuous authority, continuous multiplication. It's not just money. It's multiplication. It's souls. It's the inheritance of the kingdom of God, a modification of that kingdom. It's in the key. He inspected seven churches. Only one of them was worthy of the key. Only one of them did something that drew his attention. It was a governmental key. The key of the house of David, I'm going to lay upon his shoulders. He will open and none shall shut. He will shut and none shall open. When he opens this government, it's not just going to be a nice service. You have to understand that. It's going to open the government to the nations, and it cannot be stopped. So the Lord spoke to me the other day. He says, do not look at where you're at right now. Look at your purpose, and you'll understand. The ones I've given you have been assigned there for purpose. You're here by purpose. Multitudes are not coming until a birth comes. I know you're saying, when are we going to birth? I don't know. When the Lord tells you, tell me. All I know is we are fulfilling his purpose and his mandate. He doesn't need the nations to come to a birth. They'll come after the birth. He has a God-set ordained people ordained to carry a lamp in the earth. Just the way David carried that anointing through the desert, through the wilderness. Moses carried the law through the wilderness. There's a people that are called to carry through it. I'm not going to be like Moses. I'm going in the promised land. I'm like David. I'm going in. It's been a stirring of his presence lately. It's making me to know we're at the end of this journey of carrying. Inside, there is a key. It's going to land upon a church that has been prepared, a people that have been prepared. When he opens, it's going to open his government. Verse 23, I will fasten him. All of this is speaking of Christ. So when Christ inherits the key of David, he authored it, he inherited it. Now he opens doors with it. He says, I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. That's the prophecy of Zechariah 10. Of the white horse was going to fulfill that nail. He's going to bring forth the nail. You hang weight upon the nail. He's going to hang the full weight. And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And I shall hang upon him all, say all, the glory. See, it's not just a treasury key. It's a treasury key that comes forth by government that has the full weight of the Father's glory with it. It's like Solomon. When God gave him the wealth, he gave him the glory too. He had glory. It was a language that the prominent people of the earth, the kings and the queens, understood. When God gave to Solomon that God was with him, they didn't even have to believe in that God. They saw God with him. They came to hear his wisdom. I'm telling you right now, if Solomon was a poor man, there wouldn't be one king showing up at his doorstep. God is going to get attention of the world in this hour. There are times the church, he leaves Rome alone. And there's a time he'll come and testify to heads of state. He'll testify to the powers of the world. This is a generation that will testify to the powers of the world. They're going to see it all. It's not going to be the little church hidden. The full weight of the Father's house is up in that key. It's in the key. So when he says over there to the church of Philadelphia, the ninth little church, when he says, I'm going to open for you a door, I set before you the open door. They had a door open for them by that key. He's talking about the weightiness of the Father's house coming by way of that key. He's talking about the government coming. The full weight of it. All of it. Say all of it. That church was the only church promised anything like it. And it was a last day church because he spoke specifically. I'm going to keep you from that hour. Look at verse 24. He shall hang upon him all the way to the Father's house, the offspring and the issue, the whole family. All of it. Now, go back over with that in mind and looking what's in that key. The key of the house of David. Now let's look for a minute. I want to go right back into Revelation chapter 6. So, verse 10, I want you to see this. Okay, so watch this. You're going to see a revelation. He's opening a revelation before a revelation. So we understand that this church is planted. It's in the last days. It's a last day church because he references the last day. He's not going to reference a church in the first century and talk about, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation that's coming. This church was a last day church, and there was another one there too. Church of Laodicea. They're growing together. Verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I'll keep you from the hour of temptation that shall come upon the earth. All right? So we know they're a last day church, but before they're planted right in the time, our time, say our time. We're in this time. We know the hour of tribulation's coming. We know that hour, that 7 years is coming. It's going to try all the people on the earth. We have the between now and then. That's where that church was. So what's he going to do? Now back up. I want to show you something. The angel of the church of Philadelphia, verse 7. These things write, he that is holy, he that is true. He that hath the key of David, he opens, and no man shut. So, no other place in the entire Bible, key of David's mentions, except Isaiah 22. Now, he says, I'm going to open. I have that key. I have that government of the house of David. I have the treasury key. I have the government. I have the full way to the Father's house. It's in my key. I got it. The Lord has it. He says, I know your works. Behold, I set before thee an open door. No man could shut it, for you've had little strength, but you've kept my word. I'll get into that in a minute. So, he said, I set before you, I have the key, I have the government, I have the authority, I have it all. I set before you, Church of Philadelphia, an open door. So what's he going to do? He's going to open the door with all that glory. He's going to open the door with all that power. He's going to open the door with all of that government and all of that wealth. He's going to open the door, but they're positioned right at the edge of the tribulation period. Here's the Church of Philadelphia. Benefit of the MP3. I'm standing at a pole, and there's another pole on the other side of the room. Here's the Church of Philadelphia, and there's 25, 30 feet or more. Before this pole, this tribulation begins now, right? So if he's going to open a door for them with all of that government, with all of that power, with all of that wealth, no other church ever mentioned got that key but that one. And they were on the edge of the tribulation period. But you're not going to be here after this pole. I'm going to keep you from this hour. So whatever I'm going to open for you is between these two poles. From where you are now to the day that begins. Because the day it begins, I'm going to keep you from that hour afterwards. So I'm going to open for you, the Church of Philadelphia. Because what? You have kept my words. You're going to get my key. You're going to get my government. You're going to get my glory. You're going to get my white horse. Because in chapter 6, he also talks about opening a book. And a white horse is running for a season. The Church of Philadelphia is the one that's going to ride it. Do you see it? They're the ones that get the open. So he's going to open a door right before the tribulation begins. But then I'm going to keep you from there. So I'm going to open a door, then I'm going to lift you out of here. That's right. But when I open this door, all the way to the Father's house is in this key. All the government is the Father's house. And all the wealth of the Father's house is in it. And when I open, it's only going to be for a season. Are you getting this now? Because this was a last day church. It was planted in the last days. Somewhere like we are right now. We know that all that stuff's coming on the other side of that pole over there. But we have now and then. He's going to open a door between now and then. And it's only going to stay open between now and then. Because the door he opens for them, obviously, by the time they get to that pole over here, they're going to be lifted out because they're not going into this time. He says, I'm going to keep you from this hour. So whatever I'm going to give you, it's going to come up right to the time the 7 year tribulations begin. But whatever I'm going to give you is going to be powerful. And I'm going to open. I set it before you. Why? What did they do? What drew their attention? There's a lot of people have their theories on how revival comes. Whatever your camp in, they have their theory. If you do this, it's going to come this way. You do this, it's going to come that way. All I want to know is what attracted him that had that key. Because when he opens that door, all of the right hand of God's coming down. Because right after he said that, John's looking at this. He's prophetically telling him, this is it. Because there's another church there right next to him, Laodicea. They're wealthy too. They're rich. Because they've already got it, but they didn't get it by God's hand. They got it by themselves. We're rich, we're wealthy, and we have need of nothing. He says, you're poor, you're miserable, you're wretched, and you're blind. One of them got it by self-sufficiency. The other one got it by God. There's going to be two churches. They're going to be wealthy beyond description. But one of them is going to do it God's way, and the other one's not. One of them's going to do it by the key of David, and the other one's going to do it by the key of self. Two last day churches walking hand in hand. But this one's only going to be a season. The thing I'm trying to tell you, when this door opens, I'm telling you, there's a threshold, there's a season that door, but the power and the authority and the glory and the fullness and the weightiness that's coming through that key when he shuts that open door to the church of Philadelphia, when the glories of the right hand of God, him who received it all, when it all comes down, it's going to be ushered so quickly, so fast, so powerful. He said in Isaiah 60, I'm going to hasten this thing. I'm going to hasten it for you. When God says he's going to hasten something, he's going to hasten it. Because God, only speed I know about God right now is the one called patience. Slow down. Just because someone's running alongside of you, and it might look good, but they might be running with something far less than what you've been called to run with. Don't jump off the horse you're on to go jump on that horse just because it's running fast. At the end, you might find it didn't have near the weightiness of the one you're presently riding. But you'll have to wait for it. Because the one that we're riding has a key. Notice the one that had the key, they weren't running anywhere. He said, I know your works, and the only works they were doing was, you've kept my word. He said, because you've kept my words, I that have the key of David, I'm going to open before you a door. And when I open it, no man is going to shut it. That means it's going to have authority over the systems of this world. That's why in that verse I mentioned this Sunday and some people kind of rolled their eyes. I want to share this verse. You'll understand this now because you understand it, a treasury key now. You'll understand this revelation. I couldn't get into it Sunday, but I'm getting into it now. Verse 8, look at this again. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. You've had little dunamis power, but you've kept my words. He says, I'm going to open the door. What door is that? The one that has his government in it. The one that has the full weight of the Father's house in it. The one that has the full treasure of the Father's house in it. And then he says this, such an amazing verse here. He says, behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but are not. They do lie. I'm going to make them come and worship before your feet and know that I have loved thee. Now, I made this statement Sunday, who I believe those are. If you know anything about international finance, there have been ruling Jewish families that have ruled the wealth of the world and still do. For the last 500 years, and many of them before that. Notably, the last 500 years. It says they say they're Jews, but they're really not. They belong in the synagogue of Satan because of things they do with that. I'm not going to get into all that. But I'm telling you, what he's saying with that, whatever he's saying, he goes, that system they are ruling the word we're with is going to bow down to this key. Whatever's in this key, it's going to have precedence, power, and authority over that system. That's what he's really saying. I doubt the heads of those families of those people would actually come and bow down. That's not what he's saying. He goes, the system. If you even know anything about money, money is a debt. That dollar bill in your pocket, it's all debt driven. It's a debt. Anyway, it's the system that we live in. But he says, that system will bow down to what's upon you. Now, what did we say in Revelation 6 when Jesus opened the book and the seal got open? What happened? The white horse released. He said, out of him's going to come forth the final cornerstone. Out of him's going to come forth the nail of Isaiah 22. And we talked about the company of Judah that was going to ride that horse for a season before the tribulation starts. Here he's saying the exact same thing. And he's telling you it's the church of Philadelphia that I'm going to open this door for. I'm going to open this door. Because it's only a season. You can see it's a seasonal door because you know that hour of tribulation's coming. That church is not going in there, he says, because I'm going to keep you from it. So whatever I'm going to open, it's for a season. But it's going to have the full weight of the Father's house on it. Right there is another prophetic prophecy of the end time move of God. Given to a church that has kept his words. There's two churches running there. Laodicea. The ones that are very engaged in the world, that say they know God, but they don't, they have no sufficiency, they have no dependency upon him. And then the church that's absolutely dependent upon him. You have the spiritual church by the key of David. You have the Laodicea church that has the key of self-sufficiency. The two churches are running, but one of them is going to receive the key and the full weight of the Father's house. Hold it fast. I said, Lord, I want to run. I get it. We had to keep your word. I get it. He said, you're called to birth right now. Once you birth, everything will change. He said, everything's going to shift. He brought me right into that verse right there. He says, all you need is to hold my words until I come and open the key of David to the nations. Then you're going to get to run. Then we're going to get to see the power. Then we're going to get to see the glory. Then we're going to get to see the full weight of the Father's house like no other generation. Prophesied double in the book of Revelation, if you know how to read it. Church of Philadelphia, the white horse of Revelation chapter 6. Boom, boom. Both of them are moves of God.